Now keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit.
Welcome back to Hardly Minding My Business. I gotta say, I'm really excited to be back. I'm really excited to be back. I really miss this. I'm trying to get back to the things I missed. I miss this. I miss running. I haven't been running in a while. I've been having some issues with my foot. Like, I don't know what I did to it. Apparently I screwed it up, but I've been trying to get in a little bit of exercise where I can, but I would really like to get back to running. That is the plan. But I'm trying to get back to things that are important to me because, you know, those are the things that kind of balance out the difficult days, right? And it just helps to pass the time better, all of that. But yeah, y'all know I love it here, and so I'm back. I know I said that last week, but again, here I am. So we got some stuff to talk about. I just realized as I'm sitting here that I did not think of a petty or not. Oops. What is petty or not for today? Petty or not? You know what really gets me? No, what really, really gets me? What gets me is receiving a text from someone, responding immediately, and then them taking forever to respond back. Why did you text me? Why didn't you just wait till you had time? What was the point in you sending me this text? I'm not talking about like a quick text, like, oh, hey, you know, just got here, call you later. That's not what I mean. You know the kind of text I'm talking about. Don't ask me an open-ended question and I answer you and then you're gone, or you text me and you ask me for some information or something like that, or you tell me that there's something going on and then I text you back right away and I'm like, what's up, what's going on, tell me what's happening, and then there's nothing. Dead silence for a very long time, or what feels like a very long time. I don't like that. I'm just saying. Yeah, could you like think about that a little bit? Anyway, what's going on? I guess I just kind of launched into petty or not and didn't really talk about what's going on. I mean, I said that I'm trying to get back to things that are important to me, including, you know, working out and things like that, podcasting, with my solo pod, reading. I've been reading a lot more lately. You know, I am team audiobook where it makes sense. Everything can't be an audiobook, but there are certain things that you could kind of get away with and it's like, oh, okay, this is perfect. This is perfect in audio form. Or there's certain books that, you know, when I'm familiar with the author and they're the ones doing the audio on the audiobook, you just want to hear like their emphasis, their take on it. You know, you'll hear the inflection in their voices and, you know, just feels like that's how it's supposed to be. So I've been getting into that more. It was something that I just wanted to do, I guess, over the last 6 months. I really kind of said to myself, I want to read more books. And to that end, I actually, not a book, but I read an article on The Cut. Oh my gosh, you know what? I don't think I wrote down the author. I'll try to link the article, but the article is about marrying an older man. I thought this was interesting and totally relevant. You know, listen, I be out here in these streets trying to figure out this dating stuff, and it is not for the faint of heart. And I don't know, the title of the article caught my eye. It was something like, is marrying an older man the better choice, or something like that. That's not the exact title. Like I said, I'll link it in the description so you can check it out. It's a really long article. But it's about a woman who who basically says she watches her friends as they struggle dating people who are the same age as them. And she has found in her life that marrying a man 10 years her senior has made her life so much easier than her friends have it. She talks about the fact that there is this idea today that if you marry someone who is in close age to you, that you are looking for a partner. You are looking for someone who you can share the expenses with, who you can share the responsibilities with and the obligations with, which is very different from the dynamic she experiences as a woman who married a man who was 10 years older than her when she was 23. She talks about the fact that, you know, you don't have to worry about any of that. She says she goes home and she doesn't have to think about her bills being paid. She doesn't have to think about struggling. She doesn't have to think about the fact that she can't do things that she wants to do or likes to do. She references that she, you know, paints and does these leisurely things. And it's because she doesn't have to work nearly as hard as the woman who is searching for a partner, someone who is the same age as her. I thought this was really, really interesting. The quote right under the title is, "A woman's life is all work and little rest, and an age gap relationship can help." So her idea here is that you're taking less of the burden off of yourself when you do this. When you marry a man who's older than you, significantly older than you, you're allowing him to take the lead. You're taking, you're sacrificing certain things, because she does point out, she points out that, you know, he doesn't hold it against her that he's the one paying the bills, but she said she still feels it hanging over her head. She still feels obligated to acquiesce to him, to make him feel a certain way because he is providing so much for her. This is where there's a kink in the armor for me, because I just want to say, as far as my opinion goes, I think that you should lead whatever lifestyle you think works best for you. And if that means marrying an older man so that you don't have to worry about the obligations that life brings, that's fine. As a woman, as a single woman who has lived alone for a very long time, the thought crosses my mind often about whether or not it would be a benefit to have someone living with me, someone who could at the very least share the expenses with me. I think about that and it sounds nice. It really does. But I also think about my independence, and I love being independent. I love being able to go and come as I please, being able to do whatever it is I want to do. That doesn't mean that I don't seek partnership. It just means that I value the life that I've created for myself. And I am more than open to opening up my life to someone who very much wants to be there and very much wants to share life with me in whatever way we decide that makes sense. So that is not, to me, as a concept, it's not weird to desire something in your life or someone in your life who takes on things that would otherwise be burdens. I think it would be a hell of a lot easier if someone else lived here and had no issues taking out the trash or wanted to pay the rent. Or am I going to complain about those things? Probably not. But I think that the thing that stood out to me was that, yeah, you have this great life and I'm happy for you. And if that's the life that you prefer, then that's the life that you should have. But I often worry about that, feeling like, okay, now I've gotten to the point where this person wants to do everything. Where do I land? I don't ever want to feel like things like finances, or, you know, like, I pay these bills, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm the man, and I do this and I do that. I never want that hanging over my head. Like, if I need to contribute, I'm going to contribute. Not necessarily because I want to take the money out of my pocket, but because if that's the right thing to do for the situation at hand, like, yeah, then that's what I'm going to do. Also, I don't ever want to feel like I'm indebted to the person I'm with. I feel like there should be some sort of reciprocity there. And I guess the reciprocity, the transaction of it all, is whatever you decide for it to be. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one situation. It doesn't have to be a 50-50 situation. We've talked about this before. But I thought this was just really interesting, because I think in a world where, you know, you're finding that a lot of women are not seeking partnership, or they are, you know, they're opting to be single, or they're opting to have children without a father in the mix. They're going to sperm donors. They're doing things like this. And she talks, she says, you know, whenever they're ready to have a family, he's going to be pleased to have a family. He'll be a little bit older, but that's fine. She makes a good case. I want to be clear. She makes a really good case. She's like, listen, my life is good. And again, I don't have all the drama that my friends have. And you know what? More power to you for not having that drama. This was just really interesting to me. I don't think I'm quite ready to find a man 10 years my senior. I don't know about that. Now, here's what I will say. The thing is, if I met somebody who fit this criteria and we hit it off and we fell in love, or we decide, like, we were like, oh, this is nice. You know, I'm enjoying this. This is fun. This is cool. I'm totally down for it. I don't think I'll seek it out, though. And she makes it very clear that she was very intentional about pursuing this man, or allowing this man to pursue her. She knew that this was something that she wanted. So, you know, she she put in the work, so to speak, to get what she wanted. She put herself in certain spaces. She made sure that the night she met her husband, that, you know, when she saw him, she eyeballed him. She was getting in a cab. She said she got right out the cab and went over to him and spoke to him. So she knew exactly what she wanted, and she went after it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Listen, because the moment you try to run me, and some will, the moment you try to run me, I'm like, I don't know about this. Let's back up a little bit. So that would be my only concern. That would give me pause. But I feel like if you, like, find that mutual love and respect for somebody, and you also have the same goals, and the same ideas of what life should look like, about whatever it is. I mean, I think what I would do, if everything was paid for and all of that, I'd, like, try to do what I really want to do in terms of, like, professionally and whatnot. I wouldn't feel so bogged down or so attached to something that I already do. I would allow myself to, you know, explore things more and take more opportunities and take more risks, because I have that security net. I don't know if I would just go, like, straight stay at home girlfriend / wife. I don't know if I'm built to for things to be that way. I think that's a little bit too much leisure for me, but you never know. So I just wanted to point that out. I thought that was a cool article, because I felt it was very honest. It may not be the way that I live my life or the way I want to live my life, but I think it's really, I think it's really cool when people just kind of let it all hang out and lay it all out there and, you know, let you know what's in their cards. So check out the article. Let me know in the comments what you think about it. I thought it was pretty interesting and, you know, maybe she'll write something else. She's a wonderful writer, by the way. The way the article is written, or it's like calling an essay, the way the essay was written, she's a great writer. And apparently that's what she really wanted to do. So she's very much creative and artsy, and I love being creative and artsy. So you know, maybe I'm living the wrong life. What else we got to talk about? Have y'all heard about Good Times on Netflix? Apparently they're doing a reboot. It's a cartoon reboot of the show, the sitcom Good Times. It's a black sitcom back in the day of a black family living in the projects and, you know, the trials and tribulations that they go through. And I guess somebody decided that it needed to be rebooted, just like every other thing on the planet is being rebooted at this point. But it's coming back in cartoon form on Netflix. It starts next week, I believe, April 12th. There's a lot starting on April 12th, as a matter of fact. But I believe it starts on April 12th on Netflix. I'm trying to think of who's in it right now. I know Marseille Martin plays the daughter. I can't think of who else is in it right now. The point of the matter and the reason I bring it up is because it's causing a lot of controversy. People have seen the trailer, and the trailer basically shows you every single stereotype you could possibly think of about black people. Everything that they think of us. Yeah, it's tricky. It's difficult to watch because it's like, ooh, there is nothing good here. Like, it does not paint black people in a positive light in any way. So the criticism here is, why would we want this? Like, why would we want to be portrayed this way? My initial thought was, okay, but I also don't need, I was watching the Higher Learning podcast and they touched on the topic also. And Van Lathan asked the question of, do you need for it to be, do you need for content about black people to only be positive? And I don't think that's true. I don't think I need it to only be positive. But what I do need, what I do need is for it to have some sort of balance. It didn't really seem balanced. I also understand that, like, Seth MacFarlane is involved. There's a lot of people involved with this project. And it appears that it may lean more in the vein of satire and parody. And maybe that's why it's so egregious, and maybe that's why the trailer is the way it is, because you're trying to grab people. I think in the year of our Lord 2024, I think you do have to tread lightly, because people have a sensitivity to things like this. And it seems like their effort to pique people's interest through the trailer backfired, because I'm sure they were thinking, let's lump every crazy thing that we could possibly, that we've covered on the show, let's put it all together in a nice little 2 minute and 30 second package or whatever it is, and we'll put it out to the public and see what they think. And I'm sure that they thought that people would be talking about it and it would grab people, but the I think that instead of people being like, man, what is this? I want to see this. I think instead they got, man, what is this? I don't like this. I am not one to decide. There's very few things that I decide I'm not going to watch before I see it. I don't really know what to do with this. I haven't really made a decision on it yet. I kind of want to watch the first episode just to see if it's really as bad as it's portrayed. But I don't know. It's a weird thing. I was excited when I heard about it because I love Marseille Martin. I think she's brilliant. Again, there's a bunch of people on the cast, so it's not just her, but I don't know. And I can't, this feels like something that you can't rely on word of mouth for. This feels like something that you kind of have to watch yourself and decide how you really feel about it. So I may just check out the first episode just to see what happened, but I don't know. Did I accidentally start what I'm watching? I didn't mean to do that. So I did want to talk about the Forbes list real quick before we get back into television. I did want to talk about the Forbes list. It just came out for 2024. And there's some black people on the list. So I figured we should just like talk about it because, I mean, it's none of my business how much money these people make. And honestly, there's been times where people have said that the Forbes list is not completely accurate. So, you know, I mean, for whatever it's worth, I just kind of want to point it out. There's just a few that I want to mention. Michael Jordan, $3.2 billion. These are all the black billionaires. Michael Jordan, $3.2 billion. Oprah, $2.8 billion. Jay-Z, $2.5 billion. Tyler Perry and Rihanna, $1.4 billion each. And LeBron James, $1.2 billion. At least somebody's making a lot of money because I would love to be worth $1.2 billion. Like, what do you even do? What do you even do with that money? But I think this is cool. I think we're on the up and up. There are other people on the list. That's not my ministry and it's none of my business. Really, this is none of my business. But I just thought it was interesting. I wonder what it looks like when you add Jay-Z and Beyonce's net worth together. I don't know what that figure is, but I think that would be really interesting to find out. But yeah, just a quick little anecdote. I mean, we knew this about all of these people, I think. And Rihanna, we know when Rihanna finally hit a billion a couple years ago, it was like a big deal when the Forbes list came out and she was on the list. So, you know, I'm just excited to see, you know, the people are still shining and the people are still making money. Throw some of them dollars this way, please, because I'll take them. I will take them. Since I mentioned Jay-Z and Beyonce, I should point out that Cowboy Carter has been released. I'm really excited. Y'all know I was excited about this one, especially the fact that Beyonce and Miley Cyrus collaborated. Love the song. I just love it. And honestly, love the album. If you want to hear more about what I thought, you can mosey on over to Weeknights because we did a whole hour on just Beyonce. But I did just want to point out how cool it is that she tried to amplify so many black voices that have touched the country music scene. As I said before, or as I said on Weeknights, I love the fact that when I listened to it, I understood what she meant by this is not a country album, this is a Beyonce album. It felt very different from what, it felt like she put her sauce on it, I should say. So I like it, and they're talking about a tour. There's a rumor there's a rumor that apparently her mom liked that the tour is being announced this Friday. I don't know how true that is, but I don't know, y'all. I might have to go see this one. I might have to be in the building for this one because I am pretty excited about this album. I listened to it a couple times and I'm on board. I am on board, okay? And I will not be going on TikTok for the next couple of weeks because I don't want them to ruin it by playing out some of the songs as TikTok sounds. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. That tour might see me. There's a couple of shows coming up this year that I'm like, I might want to show up. I might want to do this. But, you know, stay tuned. Stay tuned. What else we got? Let me see. All right, let's get back to TV real quick. Let's get back to TV. Some notes. I don't really have a whole lot of what I'm watching, but I do have some notes on some things that are happening with TV. I see Sherry Shepherd got renewed for a third season. That's really excited. Do y'all watch Sherry Shepherd? Can somebody put it in the comments if you watch Sherry Shepherd? I don't really watch daytime television. I've seen the Sherry Shepherd show maybe a couple of times. But, or rather, I've seen more clips than anything else. She seems like she's doing her thing over there. I mean, she really did go in and fill Wendy's slot, and it worked out. It worked out. So good for her. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen like a full episode, if I'm being honest. But good for her. Good for her. I love it. I love to see it. Let the black girl shine. So the last TV thing, and honestly, probably the last thing that we need to talk about is Jerrod Carmichael and his new show, the Jerrod Carmichael show, reality show. It comes out on Fridays, I believe, on Max. So I saw the first episode. I believe the first episode actually dropped on Friday, the 29th. So it's very, it's documentary style. It reminds me of something, but I can't put my finger on what it is right now. Because it's not a typical reality show in terms of the way it's shot, in terms of the way the people on the show interact with one another. It's very much, we're breaking the fourth wall. The cameras are there. We know that the cameras are there. They're not getting rid of any of that. There's one friend who comes over with like a voice altering device or something and wears a mask. And that friend is basically like, this is bullshit. Like, you having cameras in here and I don't want to be, I'll come support you, but I refuse to reveal my identity on camera, which I thought was hilarious because I was like, why don't you just check him when he's not filming? So a moment from the show has gone viral. Jerrod Carmichael apparently is very good friends with Tyler, the Creator. So what they do on the show is they pan from him like being on stage and doing his stand up on stage, and then they pan to him like in real life, you know, just doing things and existing in the world and dating and whatever else he's doing, going to the Emmys and all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of, we're kind of seeing both things happen at the same time. So he's telling the audience while he's on stage that he told his best friend that he loved them. And the response that he got, well, he said that he contacted his best friend, who we learn is Tyler, the Creator. I thought all of this was fake. Who we learn is Tyler, the Creator. And if, I'm sorry if this is a spoiler, you should turn this off. we learned that it is Tyler, the Creator. He says that he sends him a message and says that, you know, I've been having these feelings for you and I don't know what to do with them. And Tyler's response is a voice note where he laughs hysterically and then says, shut up, you bitch. I don't know know a lot about Tyler, the Creator, but everybody that I've seen comment on this has said that Tyler, the Creator, is not the most serious person. Like, he has a, you know, a fun and goofy kind of personality. So this seemed on brand for him. What makes this whole thing cringy is that Gerard then contacts him after he realizes that he's not really speaking to him much. He contacts him and he asks him if they could have a conversation on camera. So he comes over and they broke the fourth wall. So he's kind of like, oh my gosh, there's so many cameras. Like, I would never allow this many cameras around and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Gerard confronts him, like, in a, you know, in a light, I wouldn't call it light way. It was all heavy, but he confronts him, you know, in a calm way, I should say. And Tyler's basically like, I don't really know what you want me to tell you. And he's like, well, you could have said something, like, you could have answered something, but this is how you responded to me. And he's like, I don't really know what you want me to tell you. You know, yeah, I said that because I figured that was the way to go to, you know, make it, you know, less heavy. So Gerard is clearly dissatisfied with this. And, you know, he continues to try to explain why he thought that Tyler would say more. And Tyler eventually kind of just says, you're family, like, we're family. Like, I don't look at you like that. I look at you as a brother. I don't look at you, you know, in any kind of way other than this is family to me. And this was so hard to watch. And I'm sure his soul was crushed a little bit by hearing that, by knowing that the cameras were around. Also, I just feel like it's, you gotta be a glutton for punishment if you want to have this conversation on camera. Listen, I can't even imagine doing that with cameras around and knowing that people could click play on Max and see that. Not only that, these are two high profile people. These are not two regular ass people that people will forget about in a couple weeks. These are people that are well known public figures. I don't even know why Tyler agreed to it. I almost would have been like, is this what you brought me over here for? No, I don't want to talk about this. Can we talk about this off camera? Can the cameras go? I probably would have said something like that. I know a lot of people have said, you know, Gerard basically can't take no for an answer. I think that the complicated thing for me with watching this was that I don't think it was that he couldn't take no for an answer. I think he expected something different from his friend. I think if they were two people who were otherwise strangers or otherwise two people who didn't know each other beyond romantic feelings or maybe, you know, two people dating or whatever, they were two people who he's saying that this person is his best friend. And clearly they spend time together, they hang out, they do whatever. So I can understand the having a higher expectation of the person who is your friend, and wanting them to be more gentle with you. But it didn't work out like that. So it was really cringy to watch. I don't know what he wanted to gain out of that. Again, I think on both sides, this conversation should have just been a private conversation. It made for compelling TV, I'll give you that. And there's nothing wrong with compelling TV. So, you know, yeah. But I'm going to continue watching it. There's a lot of other details in there that I did not discuss because I just kind of feel like I don't want to spoil the whole thing. That's the big thing that went viral. You can find that video anywhere. But I kind of want to tune in again and watch the second episode because I need to know how this thing progresses. Not the thing with Tyler, but I just kind of need to know, like, this style is so interesting to me. I don't know if I'm into it or if I'm not into it yet. So I feel like I need to watch another episode to figure that out. But we'll see. I'll keep y'all posted on that. But let me know if you've been watching it because I would love to know what y'all think. And on that note, I do not have a tweet of the week, but I'll leave you with this. It's Q2. You know, it's time to hit the reset button as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, anything that you feel you didn't accomplish in Q1, now is the time to do it. You got a fresh start. It's only the 2nd of April. So you have plenty of time to hit the reset button and do what you want to do and do what you need to do. So, I hope that everybody, does just that. And on that note, I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.